You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Good morning, sabah al-khair. This is Yusuf, and today's episode will be a documentary produced by Al Jazeera English called Palestine 1920. I'm going to provide voiceover for the Arabic commentary. The documentary was produced in English language, but with some commentators were speaking in Arabic with English subtitles. So I'm going to read out the subtitles. Stay with me.
Greater Syria was a major region of the Middle East at the turn of the 20th century. It became part of the Ottoman Empire in 1516 and remained Ottoman until the end of the First World War in 1918. Greater Syria's southern province, Palestine, was an active part of the Ottoman world. Trade boomed in its commercial centers, which included Jerusalem, Jaffa, and Haifa. In November 1918, the Allied powers of Britain, France, Italy, and Japan defeated the central powers of Germany, Austria-Hungary, Bulgaria, and importantly, the Ottoman Empire. Britain and France conspired to divide Greater Syria to their best advantage. But they could not agree on the future of Palestine. So in 1920, the League of Nations put it under interim British control or mandate. Some Christian and Zionist Jewish writers describe Palestine as, quote, a land without a people.
The non-Jewish Christian Zionist movement started 2 centuries ago, even before the Jewish Zionist movement, to claim falsely that Palestine had no people, only some Bedouins and farmers who had no civilization or agriculture. They claimed there was nothing worthy in Palestine. Even Theodor Herzl said this.
But this film looks at the region in the 20th century from a different perspective. Here, historians and personal testimony by contemporary witnesses argue that, far from being an empty wilderness, Palestine was a vibrant Arab country with a developing commercial and community infrastructure. This is the other side of the Palestinian story.
This is Jerusalem, the voice of Palestine in Al-Quds. Dear listeners, a new episode of our program.
Palestinian society in 1920 was society in transition.
The voice of Ian Black, British journalist.
The period of globalization that had led in the last quarter of the 19th century to a degree of development, certainly in the cities, Jaffa, Haifa, and to some extent Jerusalem.
Jerusalem was becoming an important commercial center, as were the ports of Gaza and Jaffa. They combined to turn Palestine into a trading hub with Europe, North Africa, and the Middle East. These old trading records in the Jerusalem archives are evidence of its business activity. Jerusalem exported soap to Egypt, Italy, and Greece through Gaza, grain to Egypt, Rhodes, and Dubrovnik through Jaffa, cotton to France and Izmir, and antiques and religious gifts to Istanbul, Italy, Portugal, and Spain. Gaza and Jaffa also imported rice and fabrics from Egypt, textiles from Istanbul, glassware from China, shawls from India, and lead from France and the Netherlands in Europe. Palestinian cities kept pace with developments in the rest of the world in the late 19th century. Palestine also developed a transport infrastructure and built a railway network to connect Jerusalem and other towns and cities with the ports on the Mediterranean. The opening of Jerusalem's main train station was a landmark event in this part of the Ottoman world.
افتتاح محطة الرئيسية للقطارات في فلسطين في مدينة القدس يجب أن نعود.
In year 1900, the opening of the train station in Jerusalem in the later years of the 19th century, namely in 1892.
كان في الواقع حدثا لا ينسى.
جاء من الأستانة يعني من إسطنبول. An event that nobody forgot. A high-profile delegation representing the Ottoman government came from Istanbul.
وكان أيضا طبعا المتصرف.
The Ottoman administrator was there as well as the ambassadors and consuls in Jerusalem. The Ottoman, the city prominent figures and families also attended the event.
والمدينة بأعيانها بعائلاتها البسط السجاجيد كل موجودة وأيضا الأطعمة
carpets were laid, food and drinks were available to everyone. People waited for 3 hours. Palestine prospered. Coastal cities became connected to the interior. Commerce flourished. This led to full prosperity in Palestine. There were more trains in other areas, not only in Jerusalem and Jaffa. There were trains going to Egypt, to the Levantine region. The voice of Sami Abu Shahadeh, Palestinian historian. In the second half of the 19th century, the Ottomans decided to invest in a vast transportation network that connected Jaffa with different areas in Palestine. Marine transportation linked Jaffa to other nearby Arab countries like Lebanon and Egypt. Later, the railway project emerged. People took the train to move between Jaffa, Haifa, Beirut, Damascus, Gaza, and Cairo. My grandfather, for example, liked the Zajal music. He would take a taxi with his friends from Clock Tower Square in Yaffa to Alhamra Street in Beirut. The voice of a Palestinian Nakba survivor from Yaffa. His name is Ismail Abu Shahade. This is my picture when I was 25. This is me at 92.
Yaffa
was a productive industrial city.
It
had blacksmiths, shops, and many workers. There were 11 floor tile factories just in Yaffa.
Jaffa was the main port of Ottoman Palestine, but it was rapidly overtaken by Haifa, which in 1905 achieved a very important step forward with the arrival of a branch of the Hejaz railway that was from Damascus to Deraa in southern Syria, and it was extended to Haifa. So after that, you could travel by railway from Haifa to Damascus and to Medina in the modern day Saudi Arabia. And the significance of that was it linked up maritime routes in an age of European colonial expansion and industrial expansion, the two overland routes, and that was later used to connect to places as far away as Kirkuk in northern Iraq, which is obviously an oil producer to the wider world.
Practically, this connection boosted the economic progress of Haifa because we started to have strong import and export traffic. We started to have a strong connection that linked this city to the three continents of Africa, Asia and Europe. I'd like to emphasize here that refreshing of internal commercial traffic
هي عملية مثلا من
حوران like
من لبنان من شرق الأردن باتجاه
سوريا Lebanon and East Jordan towards Haifa,
مدينة حيفا عبر الخط الحديد الحجازي وهذا بالتالي زاد من عدد
This
السكان
increased the population and then led to
عدد
an increase
بتتطلب زيادة خدمات ومؤسسات سواء كانت
the number of economic, cultural and social
أو
institutions.
Ottoman reforms encouraged the growth of European interest, certainly capital and trade and communications. And that, of course, led to growth in Jerusalem, Jaffa in particular, and Haifa. Economic growth was also driven.
The region was open, investments were active and moved from city
من له استثمار في بيروت وصيدا.
Those who had investments in
وصور
Beirut,
له أيضا
Saida
استثمارات في عكا وحيفا ويافا وغزة.
In Akka and other parts of Palestine.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online.
Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
There were investments across Palestine by merchants from Nablus, Hebron, Jerusalem, and Gaza. There was a strong trade exchange at that time. Naturally, this required a large number of workers, whether for the railway or trade in the city. As the existing Ottoman port progressed, therefore, hundreds of Palestinian, Syrians, Lebanese, and even Iraqi and Hijazi families started to work in the city. This led to a growth in construction and progress in the economic sector, social and cultural life. The voice of Abu Sami, the Nakba survivor, 92 years old. People used to come from all over the Middle East to work in Yafa and the whole of Palestine.
من أقطار الشرق الأوسط فيش بلد ما كان لهاش عمال بيافا من لبنان سوريا الأردن مصر اليمن الحجاز مراكش كله
from everywhere.
عشرات إلوف العمال
tens of thousands of workers.
العمال في الميناء والجنسي
voice of the radio presenter. Workers in the port of Palestinian citizens, Yafa port administration decided to prevent laborers from working in the port unless they obtained a license.
This radio report, however, talks about the way the British mandate kept a tight grip on Arab workers by regulating the influx of foreign labor. Nothing demonstrates the development of Palestinian infrastructure at this time better than the efficiency of the new railway network. If a train was late by so much as a few minutes into Haifa, it was big news.
Newspaper excerpt. Damascus-Haifa train delay.
We
noticed yesterday that the Damascus train arrived 5 minutes late. Voice of a Palestinian historian, Joni Salameh. This tells us that people undoubtedly had set time frames, appointments, agreements, and trade deals. Merchants traveling on the train from Damascus to Yafa had to pass through Haifa. They needed to finalize their trade deals and contracts. This tells us that a train delay undoubtedly affected their schedules.
Palestinian cities became known for their manufacturing sectors. Each developed its own specialties. Nablus was associated with manufacturing a well-known brand of soap. Hebron with leather products, and Akka with construction and oil exploration through the Al-Kat company.
Other companies were also established outside
Haifa.
For example, there was a metal casting company in Yafa. It manufactured metal structures for buses and other kinds of vehicles. And now again, the voice of the 92-year-old Palestinian Nakba survivor from Yafa. In Yafa, we had a metal casting company called the Palestinian Sakib Company. It was both a school and a group of factories.
We used to learn the profession
there. I studied there for 3 years to become a third grade worker. Every year or two, I would take a test to be promoted one more grade until I became first grade employee when I was 22.
Other Palestinian companies were set up to import modern luxury products. Botaji was one of the best known. It had branches in several cities and imported electrical appliances, bicycles, and a new musical device for playing music at home using discs, or records as they were called.
When the gramophone emerged and spread worldwide,
gramophonat, يعني الجهاز اسماع الاسطوانات بالانتشار عالميا ثم بالانتشار في المنطقة كان بوتاجي من أوائل الأشخاص اللي استوردوا مثل هاي الأجهزة بالتالي هذا يعني
تطلب إنه الناس in كمان
يكون في عندها يعني ميل لاستهلاك الاسطوانات وبالتالي تأسست شركات ل
So other companies were set up to make records.
إنتاج الأسطوانات ومش غريب إنه الكبار بالعمر كانوا
The elderly say that Haifa's streets and markets
أسواق مدينة حيفا وشوارعها كانت لساعات طويلة خلال النهار تسمع أصوات المغنيين والمطربين العرب خصوصا المصريين المعروفين في من خلال بيوتهم من خلال المحلات التجارية اللي كانت موجودة بهذا الوقت شركات ال
car dealership started to emerge in Palestine
سيارات
in the 1920s
يعني بدأت تظهر بالعشرينيات هذا بيعكس
this reflects several factors the first
عدة مكونات المكون الأول هو تطور شبكة المواصلات البرية في داخل فلسطين وتعبيد الطرقات ما بين المدن
roads connecting various المختلفة cities.
أنا باعتقادي إنه هذا قطاع
كقطاع
أهم جدا هو عبارة عن سلسلة وليس فقط بيع السيارة هو سلسلة من الخدمات اللي فتحت المجال أمام الاقتصاد
الفلسطيني
لتطوير هذه القطاعات على مختلف
أنواعها A couple of topics are usually overlooked when we talk about the history of Palestine.
Starting
from the second half of the 19th century,
I believe
these topics are very important as they
deeply change the shape of Palestine,
Palestinian society.
For example,
since the second half of the 19th century,
there
were modern schools in Yafa.
جزء منها عثماني
Some of them were Ottoman and the others
وجزء
were
منها
foreign schools.
مدارس أجنبية التقديرات بتقول إنه
Estimates say only 2% of the population of Palestine were literate at the beginning of the 20th
الناس
century.
التي تجيد القراءة والكتابة بفلسطين تقدر بحوالي 2% اللي هم بالأساس
Those were basically the religious scholars and the intellectuals
وبعض المثقفين عام 1948
In 1948 more than 50% of the Palestinian
كان
youth
عدد الناس
was literate.
بين جيل الشباب اللي بيجيدوا القراءة والكتابة بفلسطين 50% هاي أرقام رهيبة على مستوى العالم
outstanding figures worldwide not only in Palestine or the Arab
بس
world
بس على مستوى فلسطين أو العالم العربي
تعليم إجمالا في
Education in Palestine at that time was divided into more than one sector.
كان ينقسم إلى أكثر من قسم. كان في تعليم وطني.
20s there was
وطنية.
National government schools.
يعني نتكلم نحن عن
constitutional schools and the Arab schools.
بلات. فلذلك مرت علينا المدرسة الدستورية وكان أيضا إنشاء مدارس متعددة داخل يعني عربية تماما في الداخل.
There were also foreign international
وفي فلسطين أيضا مدارس أجنبية تنتمي إلى جنسيات متعددة في مدارس الألمان في مدارس الروس المسكوب ففي مدارس متعددة كانت في فلسطين
so many different schools
لكن تميزت فلسطين
فلسطين was distinguished
فعلاً
for having significant high profile educators and teachers
يعني أساتذة معلمين مشهود لهم في كل
they were renowned teachers across the Arab world
للعالم العربي حتى في العالم يعني وفي القرى أنشئت مدارس متعددة
Various schools were established in Palestinian villages. This was a very important fact. I'm not going to say we had the best education in the Arab world,
but
we were definitely near the top. In 1921, Hajj Muhammad انتخب الحاج محمد أمين الحسيني مفتيا للقدس
لمدينة القدس من أول اهتمامات المفتي كان رئيس المسجد الإسلامي الأعلى جمع أيتام المسلمين في مكان واحد وبناء دار لهم
أو إيجاد
مكان لدار
واسعة
تنشئهم وتعلمهم وتدربهم صار في معهد صناعات جميع أنواع الصناعات المتوفرة المفتي تعلموها من صناعة القش صناعة الأثاث أيضا الطباعة وتجديد الكتب وكانت مطبعة رائعة تابعة لهم.
The industrial school had an excellent printing place.
في سنة 1930 وكان
In 1930, the Arab world witnessed an amazing event when the Palestinians founded a scout group and an
orchestra.
It wasn't simple music band. It was real orchestra with everything that means. It had many musical instruments.
في عز المراهقة وفي
young students played all these different industrial and performed in
ويشاركون أيضا بالحفلات.
Palestinian society showed every sign of rising to the challenges of the 20th century. But always lurking beneath the surface was the promise that the British had made to the Zionist movement to support the founding of a homeland for the Jewish people, and this would soon threaten not just the development, but the very existence of Palestine itself.
With this, we've come to the end of the first part of the documentary titled Palestine 1920 by Al Jazeera English. This is the end of this week's episode of Palestine Remembered. I will see you next week. Until then, have a great time and salam.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.